worship Thee, even as we gather in the house of God this evening. We come nigh to Thy throne, into Thy presence, upon redemption ground. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt be with us as we worship Thee, and as we enter into this time around the things of the Lord. May we have the help of the Holy Ghost in all His unusual and unlimited power. And Lord, may our souls be drawn away from the worldly scene, from all those things that would encroach upon our very thinking. And may we have help from heaven tonight. Bless us, we pray, and abide with us, O God, we ask in Jesus' name and for His eternal praise. Amen and amen. Now, we're reading in the 78th Psalm. We read part of this psalm last week. It's a lengthy psalm, and so we're breaking it into sections. And tonight we want to start at verse number 26, Psalm 78. We left off at verse 25 last week. So Psalm 78 and the verse number 26. We start here at a very interesting place in terms of the reading, because we are reading here of that incident in Numbers 11 when the Lord caused the wind to blow, as we read here, and it says that He rained flesh, verse 27, upon them as dust. And that's this incident when the Lord provided the quail for Israel to eat. And so there's a lot of history in this psalm from previous times. And just as we read through, you maybe could note some of the details and discern what's in view. So let's hear the word of God beginning at verse number 26 of Psalm 78. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by His power He brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And He let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. And actually, when you read Numbers 11, you'll find that these quail, these birds that the Lord brought for the people to eat, fell to a depth of 3 feet all around. It's an interesting detail. You wonder where all the birds came from, but obviously the Lord created them and caused the wind to carry them to His people for their sustenance. So they did eat and were well filled, verse 29, for He gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust. But while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for His wondrous works. Therefore their days did He consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When He slew them, then they sought Him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth, and they lied unto Him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away, and did not stir up all His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness, and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not His hand, nor the day when He delivered them from the enemy. How He had wrought His signs in Egypt, and His wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood, and their floods that they could not drink. He sent diverse sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail, and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of His anger, wrath and indignation and trouble, by sending evil angels among them. He He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence, and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, and chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Amen. And God will bless the reading of this, his own word, to all of our hearts. We're turning this evening to the opening hymn, hymn number 229 in the books, that hymn, Jesus is Tenderly Calling Thee Home, on page 269. And we trust the Lord will bless us as we sing these words, and they are words of great import and tremendous meaning as the Lord calls sinners through the preaching of the gospel. And we trust that tonight there will be many here in this building and across the way and online who will respond to that call. 229 in the book, and we'll stand as we sing the words on the screen. Once more, we will unite our hearts in prayer. Let's bow together, and each believer lay hold on the Lord for help and for God's blessing even this night. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we draw near to thee through the name of thy Son, and by the merits of his redemptive work, we thank thee for the reminder in this hymn of the one who goes forth as the great prophet of Jehovah, and throughout the ages he calls a people to himself, even from the nations of the earth. We bless thee, O Lord, that he does so as the mediator of the covenant. We bless thee, Lord, for the work that is finished, and for the completion of all that was required of Christ. He finished the work that thou didst give him to do. And Lord, we thank thee that therefore he is able, and he is also has the right to go forth into this world to call men and women out of darkness into light and from the power of Satan unto God, calling them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom that he himself reigns over. And Lord, we pray that as that call goes out, even that external call through the preaching of thy word this evening in this pulpit and in many other pulpits across our nation, across the world in general, that the effectual call will be felt deep within the hearts of men and women and young people and even little ones. O Lord, we thank thee for the Holy Spirit, who is the one who, as the agent of the Godhead and the third person of the Godhead, is given that great commission to go into the hearts of men and women and infuse that principle of new life and draw sinners unto the Savior. O Lord, we pray for that mighty operation of the Holy Ghost. We pray that in his sovereign grace he will pass this way. He will come among us even here tonight, and that the word of God will be with power, and that sinners will feel the impact of it, that hearts will be opened up, that those who have long resisted will be broken down, that those who have been careless and negligent of the things of God and the well-being of their own souls would suddenly be awakened and become alarmed and would flee from the wrath to come and find that shelter that is to be obtained in the person and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray this night that thou wilt have thy hand upon thy servant as he soon will stand before this people to bring the word of the living God. We pray that thou wilt anoint the Reverend Stuart with power, that he will know himself being girded about and being borne along by the Spirit's influence. We pray, Lord, that his heart will be filled with a sense of thy nearness, that he will know that thou art right beside him and thou art going before him and surrounding him with the grace that he needs, with that divine enablement, that unction from the Holy One to bring the word of the living God. Lord, prepare our hearts. Prepare the hearts of all who are here. And Lord, we do pray that as we hear the word of God, we will give an attentive ear, and that thy children will be taught even through the anointed preaching of the gospel, that we will learn much, that we will go away rejoicing over what we have seen afresh, even as the word is expounded and the message of God is delivered. O Lord, we pray for a solemnizing of our souls. We pray, Lord, that every frivolous thing or thought would be removed, that we would be closed in with God, that thou wilt come down, O Lord, and arrest our attention and get a hold of our thinking. And may the application of our minds be fixed upon what we will hear, what we will consider tonight. Lord, bless in this very building. Remember across the way in the church hall. Lord, we pray for those online who join with us from wherever it might be, that their hearts also will be touched by God. Lord, remember thy work. Remember, O Lord, across the nations, in days like these, days, Lord, of great turmoil, days, Lord, of wickedness and trouble, and days, Lord, when men set themselves against thee more and more. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt have mercy. We have read in this psalm of your ancient people, of how often they sinned against thee and hardened their hearts. And yet, Lord, you showed them mercy time and time and time again. And, O God, we long that in thy wrath thou wilt remember mercy. And, Lord, thou wilt come and move again and among us, O Lord, by thy Spirit, and give to us help even from the throne above. So, Lord, abide with us tonight. Remember the work here in this congregation. Remember all the needs that are represented in all of the different aspects of the ministry. We pray, Lord, for help and wisdom and grace and power. Pray, Lord, for the moving of thy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt visit us again and again. Lord, remember our sister congregations. Bless them, O Lord, and help all of thy servants this night as they proclaim the truth of God. Pray, Lord, for our missionaries. We lift them up to thee. We bring them before thee. Thou dost know where they are and all the needs that they have and all the challenges that they face. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be gracious to them and surround them with thy love, with a sense of thy presence. And may their hearts be encouraged as they serve the blessed Master. So, Lord, hear us now. Continue with us, we pray. Remember the elderly, the infirm of the congregation, those who are laid aside for various reasons. And may thy hand be upon them, everyone. And may thy presence be near to them this night. For this we ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal praise and everlasting glory. Amen and amen. Now, I welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're glad to see all who have gathered on this Lord's Day evening to worship our God. We welcome those here in this building and also across the way in the church hall and also those online. And we pray that God's blessing and presence will be the portion of every heart and every soul. Any visiting with us are especially welcome. We're glad to see you. We give you a hearty welcome in the Lord's name. And if there's some over in the hall, I obviously can't see over there. So if there are visitors over there, well, we're glad to have you in tonight for this meeting. And we trust God will bless us. I'll just mention again that that set of keys that was found this morning has not yet been claimed. So it's here in the pulpit and is for a Ford car. So whoever owns that key and the car belonging to that key, well, here it is. So you come and see us afterwards. Announcements, please, for this incoming week. Can I just mention, first of all, the Ladies' Fellowship tomorrow night at 8 p.m. in the will of the Lord. And once again, all of our ladies, whatever age group you're in, you're warmly invited to come. Hilary Stripp will be along to address you tomorrow night, and her daughters will be singing. And we pray that God will bless that meeting richly and that the Lord will undertake. Mrs. Stripp, of course, is the wife of the Reverend Calvin Stripp, and the trust the Lord will bless tomorrow night as she comes along to speak to you. And then on Tuesday, we have our weekly prayer meeting and Bible study. The Reverend Stewart will be bringing the word. We encourage you to be out. We'll be over in the church hall again on Tuesday night after the deputation meeting here last week. But let's see you out on Tuesday. We invite you to come. Maybe you haven't been to the prayer meeting before, or maybe it's a while since you were there. Let's see you out in the prayer meeting on Tuesday evening. And then the men's prayer meeting on Thursday night, again at 8 o'clock. Do remember that meeting. And once more, Mr. Stewart will bring the word. And we encourage men to come, as many as possible, gathering together to lay hold upon the Lord. Friday's meeting is open air at 1, children's meeting at 7, youth fellowship at 8:15. Young people, I trust to be with you this week and bring the word of God, and we trust that the Lord will be with us as we meet together. And next Lord's Day, remember, please, all that will happen. It is Sunday for home and foreign missions offering, so remember that in your giving as a retiring offering at both services next Lord's Day. And Sunday school, junior and senior Bible classes at 10 o'clock, adult Bible class at 10, which I will be teaching in the will of God. The morning worship, I will be preaching there as well. And the Reverend Stewart will be over in Matrafelt preaching next Sunday morning. The evening service here, when the Reverend Stewart will bring God's word. So remember the meetings next Sabbath and do pray for them and plan to be here. Bring others along with you and pray that God will move in our midst. This week is Student Study Week. So all those in the Whitfield College need our prayers. They're entering into that time of examination, and we'd ask you just to pray for our own two students, Glenn and Stephen, and also all the student body, that the Lord will be with them in coming days as they prepare for their exams. Again, we announce tonight to the congregation that the position of church cleaner is now filled, and our sister Jamise Michael-Haga has taken on that role and will be working in that capacity as an employee of the congregation, cleaning the building week by week. And we'd ask you to pray for her as you prayed for Andy. In times gone by, the Lord will give her help and grace and strength as she carries out this necessary work. We thank our sister Linda, who substituted for a while until we would find someone. We appreciate all the work that she did in those months. Congratulations again to Matthew and Lauren Nelson on the safe arrival of their little daughter this week. And we thank God for that event and for the arrival, the safe birth of this little girl. Could I mention then our annual general meeting, as was announced this morning? It will be Tuesday the 30th of November, the Lord willing, at 7:30. Remember that, please. We hold our annual meeting at 7:30. There will be the presentation of the financial statement for 2020. There are different reasons why this meeting is later in the year. It would normally be much earlier, but we're changing over to a whole new system. That will all be explained to you in the meeting, and that is the reason why we're only getting to it now. That work has now been completed, and so the treasurers will make that all clear. There will be a financial statement that Tuesday night, and the guest preacher on the occasion of our annual meeting will be the Reverend Ian Harris, who is convener of our Presbytery's Mission Board. We want to have Mr. Harris come on this occasion, and I'm not sure what the Lord will give him to preach, but we'll find that out. But he's a man who does a very, very vital work for our denomination as convener of the Mission Board. A man of God, very wise man, and a man whom the Lord has used, and we look forward to his ministry at that meeting that Tuesday night. So that's Tuesday week, and we give you notice of it. We want as many as possible out for that meeting to hear the two financial reports and then the preaching of the word. And so we look forward to that occasion in the will of God. And all these announcements are, of course, under God's sovereign hand and control. So we turn now to hymn number 232 before Mr. Stewart comes to bring the Lord's message. O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee long, long. Has he called thee in vain? He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. I'm almost afraid. The words are there. This morning they weren't on for one of the hymns for a few seconds and caused us all a bit of a panic, but we got it sorted. And so I didn't see it in that screen. So I said to myself, I wonder if it's up there. It is up there. So there you are. So number 232, and we'll stand to sing, and right afterwards, Mr. Stewart will bring the Lord's word.
Thank you. Well, a very solemn hymn, and as we were singing it there, I was just thinking, could it be this time next week your name will be in announcements that you have passed away, and you're with us tonight, and God has given you another opportunity to hear the word, and I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart and open up your heart, and this will be the night of your salvation. I'd like to turn in God's word this evening to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, as the Lord has laid this portion upon my heart. And we'll read from verse 20, read to the end of the chapter. Proverbs chapter 1, the verse 20. And as you're turning there, I also like to add my words of welcome to all who are here, those who are visiting amongst us, for the regulars that come week by week and encourage our hearts as preachers, fill these pews and give us people to preach to. We're very appreciative of that. And it's just good to have people in the house of God and those across the way and those also watching online. It's good to have you join with us around the word even this evening. So Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll read this portion together and then we'll unite our hearts in prayer. So let's hear the word of the living God. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer, please, as God's people. Let's lay a hold upon the throne, another opportunity to do so together. And let's pray that the Lord will speak tonight, young people amongst us, children amongst us, others who are not yet saved in the twilight of their days. The shadows are lengthening. And the sun is beginning to set upon their life. And you pray with me that the Lord will open their heart tonight and speak very definitely to their soul. So let's pray together, please, as God's people. Eternal God and loving Father, we bow in thy presence once again, giving thanks and praise for the meeting thus far. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to gather together as thy people, to sit underneath the ministry of thy word. We thank the Lord for this word committed into our hands. Thou hast charged us, O God, to preach the gospel. And Lord, I come and I stand before thee, Lord, as a candidate in need of the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit. Leave me not to myself. Lord, I pray that thou would come and fill my heart with God the Holy Spirit, that thou would use me as an instrument in thy hand. Lord, speak to all who are gathered here, those who watch across the way, those online, that unseen audience, yet seen and known by thee, the one who, God, thou art the one who knows the hearts of all. We pray, O Father, that this night that thou would make this a solemn meeting. Lord, that thou would make this a saving meeting. We long that Christ will be glorified. We long that sinners will close in with God's offer of salvation, that they will come to Christ, simply calling upon him to rid and cleanse them of all their sin. Remember our children. Remember young people here. Remember older people, O God, who still do not know Thee as Lord and Savior. We pray that this will be the night of their salvation. Lord, Thou hast appointed a day. And Your word has said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We pray that sinners will lay hold upon Christ tonight by faith. And Lord, they will pass from death unto life. Help me now, I beseech of Thee. Lord, give power in the preaching of the word. Apply the word for the glory and the honor of Thy name. For we pray this for Jesus' sake, for His and Thine everlasting praise and glory. Amen. Now, the two paths of life, or what we might call worldviews, are introduced early in Proverbs. In chapter 1, verse 7, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And those two viewpoints, approaches to life and their corresponding consequences, stretch out before the reader throughout this book of Proverbs. Solomon, in verse 8, he speaks to his own son, seeking to guide him in the ways of God, seeking to teach him the fear of the Lord. And that instructs us that parents, they have the God-given duty and are primarily responsible for the moral instruction of their children. He says there, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." He also points out that there would be those who would seek to lure away his own son to walk in the ways of the world. He says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And then in verses 11 through to verse 19, he speaks of all their enticement and all their luring that will come upon this young man. The battle between Christian parents and carnal peers is a conflict that has been raging for many years, a struggle which many a family is familiar with. And really, this brings us to verse 20, the passage that we have read tonight. And it begins with a striking picture of wisdom standing forth and lifting up her voice with sweet authoritative entreaty. It's clear that this book of Proverbs means much more by wisdom than a mere human quality or character trait. We have here wisdom personified. Further on in the book, divine attributes are given to wisdom. The person wisdom is co-equal with God and dwells in the bosom of the Father from all eternity, as we read in chapter 8. This person, we are told here, this wisdom, it's in the plural. And so it can be read wisdoms, and therefore it teaches us that manifold wisdom, or the fullness of wisdom, resides in this person who is personified here in this portion of God's word. And this gives us a clue to whom wisdom is. The person whom wisdom is set before us in these verses is, of course, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Read of Him in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." There's a number of other portions in the New Testament which identifies wisdom with Christ. We could think of Luke chapter 7, verse 35, or Luke chapter 11, verse 31. But most notably, we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 and verse 30, where we read these words, "Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. But of in Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is of God, made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." Wisdom is personified as one who cries and utters his voice to the people on behalf of God, one who comes with a message from God. In other words, a prophet. Christ is God's prophet. He is the messenger of the covenant. As priest, he represents the people before God, but as prophet, he represents God before the people. He is the Word of God, as we read in John chapter 1 and the verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John Calvin notes that the title Word refers to the fullness of divine wisdom residing in Christ, by which all the inspired prophets and apostles delivered God's revelation to men. You see, in the Old Testament, Christ mediated the task of bringing God's word to the people, to the prophets. And now in the New Testament, he delegates the same task of preaching God's word, firstly to the apostles and then to the ministers of the gospel. So in this portion, when we read of wisdom, we can read this as speaking of Christ. It is Christ who calls out to men and women through the preaching of the gospel. And my mind was drawn to this portion of Scripture as I saw once again the response of many to the gospel on Friday at the open air. I can picture one man in particular, one young man in particular, who shook his head as he was offered a gospel tract. He gave a physical manifestation of the refusal of the Word of God and the voice of Christ as it was offered to him and called out to him in the printed Word. And tonight I want to consider these verses under the heading, The Unheeded Call of Wisdom. Or as I said, we can substitute Christ for wisdom, the unheeded call of Christ. You see, tonight, once again, Christ will call out to sinners in the gospel, and I trust that you would heed his call. Now, the first thing I want us to think about this evening, and what I want to lay before you, is the call of wisdom. The call of wisdom. Before we look at some of the particulars of this call, outlined in verses 20 to 23, I just want to point out that this is a mercy that God through Christ would call out to sinners. You see, God would be entirely just in leaving us to our sin, not communicating to man, nor revealing himself to us in a special manner, and yet he does. What a marvel this is. And furthermore, what love this is when we think of the message that the Lord wants sinners to hear, the message of a Redeemer. The wonderful news is that there is one. There is one who is the center of all revealed truth, who came to deliver sinners from the condemnation of their sin by rendering a full and perfect obedience to God's law, and enduring the wrath of God against sin by laying down his life upon the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ is the center of all revealed truth. And as the message is presented tonight, the message is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine the word only told us of the majesty and the holiness and the righteousness of God. Or how unworthy and sinful and wretched and corrupt and polluted and wicked we are. Or it only told us of the eternal punishment of the blackness of a tormenting hell that we rightly deserve. And it tells us all those things. Imagine that's all we heard from God. What an unbearable word to hear continually sounding in our ears. But Christ calls out to sinners with a message of grace and love through the gospel of his redeeming grace. It is a mercy that God calls out to men, and that he does in such a manner through this redemptive revelation. That is a mercy that God is still calling on sinners tonight and presenting before them the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come to the particulars of this call of wisdom. The particulars that we find there outlined in verses 20 to 23. And we notice the places where the Lord calls. It tells us here in verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying. The five terms mentioned refer to the public proclamation of the word. Without, in the streets, in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate, in the city. God's word is to be heard by the people. That is his divine plan, that man and woman would hear the preaching of the word, and wisdom lifted up her voice so that mankind would hear. You know, the faculty of hearing has been given unto you by God. not only as a sense to be enjoyed, but that through it we would hear words whereby we can be saved. Seven times in the book of the Revelation we read the phrase, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." It has pleased God by the public proclamation of the word to save them that believe. For faith it cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And tonight, sinner, God has blessed you with hearing. Read in Proverbs chapter 20 and the verse 12, that the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. And God has given you, he has given you an ear gate, which is an entrance into the soul through which the word can pass so that you might be saved. And therefore, tonight, sinner, as you're in this meeting, you take heed how you hear. Listen up tonight. Drive from your thoughts those distracting things that will come in upon you, because God has given you this night the faculty of hearing that you might hear what the Spirit would have to say unto you. We can also take these words of these public places to mean that Christ calls out to men in the busyness of their lives. Of the places mentioned, we can picture the hustle and bustle of people going around the city, going about their daily business with all their plans in the marketplace, in the streets, and in the city. But along comes wisdom or Christ and interrupts their plans. He startles them and grabs their attention by lifting up his voice with earnest entreaties, confronting them with his claims and their duty. And oh, that the Lord would speak to you tonight, that Christ would come to you, young person, and grab your attention, that he would speak into your heart and disturb your plans. You've no time for the gospel. You've no time for Christ. You're busy rushing on. But here we're told that wisdom, that Christ lifts up his voice as men and women go about the busyness of life. Oh, that he would lift up his voice against you, older person, and speak with the voice that wakes the dead, that he would interrupt your plans for living. And he would speak very definitely to your heart. So in the particulars, there are the places, but there also we also have the persons to whom wisdom calls. Three classes of individuals are mentioned in verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? The simple, the scorners, and the fools, all are descriptive terms of sinners in this meeting. And I don't mean to be rude or to offend, but that's how God describes you tonight. Simple, a scorner, or a fool. Now, firstly, we have those who are termed as simple. And that speaks of those who are gullible, the naive, the person who believes anything but examines nothing. And I am reminded of the quote by a great Reformed teacher. And he says that when men do not believe in God, it's not that they believe anything or nothing, but that they will believe anything. Anything that is drip-fed to them from the media or from so-called scientific institutions or universities. You know, people, they will readily believe in evolution without examining the facts for themselves. They'll just take it as given. Others, they do not question what they have been taught to believe in their system of false religion. They are never encouraged to search the Scripture like the Bereans to see if what they are told is in agreement with what God says. And my dear friend, that is spiritually naive and gullible, especially when it comes to the matter of your soul. Oh, I'll just take what some professor says. What I'll just take what the media says. I'll just take what some so-called religious leader says. That is naive of you tonight if you find yourself to be one of these as described as simple. But Christ, we're told, he also calls out to the scorners. And you know, again, God's mercy is emphasized here, for these are they who mock God and the things of God, the cynic who takes pleasure in ridiculing those things that are truly important. You see, while the simple one has the blank look upon their face, the scorner, he wears a sneer. And they are proud in their self-conceit, and they scoff at redemption through Christ's blood. Really? Is that how I'm saved? Through the death and the blood shedding of another? Am I not good enough? That's the sneer of the proud, self-righteous, self-conceited individual. They delight in their scorning. They take pleasure in it, often laughing at the things of God and the people of God. But as we will see later, except they repent, it is God who will have the last laugh. We have those termed fools. That's those who are ignorant of the truth. Their problem isn't a low IQ or poor education. Their problem is a lack of spiritual desire to seek and to find God's wisdom. They are willingly ignorant of the things of God, and they don't care. They absolutely don't care to know what's right, because they are so determined to do what they want. And the fool is marked by materialism and an earthly vision. You know the parable of the rich farmer. And he had no thought of God, but was only thinking about eating and drinking and being merry, the lusts of the flesh, desiring those desires of the mind. That's all he was interested in. But what did God say of him? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And I wonder tonight, what a sinner. Which one of those three categories do you fit into this evening? I would take it by your presence that you're not a scorner. You're not a scorner. I would also take it by your presence that you're not a simpleton, if we want to put it that way, because you're underneath the sound of God's word. And that leaves one category. You're foolish. You're foolish. God views you as a fool tonight. You're willingly ignorant of the things of God in order that you might live for self and sin. Christ calls out to you tonight. He seeks to arrest your attention. But we also notice the key points of wisdom's call. The precept to repent and the promise to renew. And Christ, when he comes calling to sinners, he calls men to repentance. He asks them, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. How long? Tonight, can I ask you, sinner, are you going to continue walking in your own ways and after your own counsel and not take heed to his call? Sinners are to turn at the Lord's reproof. Or we could read it like this in the original. They are to turn to the Lord's reproof. They are to have a change of thought, to rest upon the external word and what it teaches, what it says to you tonight. You are to turn to the reproof of God. You're to turn to his word and rest your soul upon what he says. You see, faith is always included, because repentance involves the double aspect of turning from and turning to, as we're reminded in Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this done, if you will hearken to the voice, if you will turn at the Lord's reproof. We are told that the Lord promises, I will pour out there. In verse 23, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make my words known unto you. And that is the renewing of the Holy Ghost and regeneration. God the Holy Ghost will come and take up his residence within your heart. within the heart of those who heed Christ's call. And God will make known His words unto you. What does that mean? You'll hear His voice and His word, because fellowship and friendship and communion has been renewed as you are reconciled by the blood of Christ's cross. These are some of the features of Christ's call, the places in which He called. Then we have the persons to whom He calls. And then there's the key points of His call. The call of wisdom. But secondly, in this portion, we have the refusal of wisdom. And we notice the refusal of wisdom in verses 24 and 25. And then also down in verses 29 and 30. Now remember, we can always substitute Christ for wisdom here. So here we have basically the refusal of Christ. Sinner, to refuse the word as it's preached is to reject a person. And this is personal tonight. The Lord calls out to sinners individually, and this message is between you and Him this evening. It's not between you and the preacher. The preacher's just a vessel. He's just a channel through which the Lord speaks, utilizing the minister's physical faculties, such as his voice, his intellect, his mannerisms. But it's Christ that's addressing you tonight. And this is personal. He's calling to you. And don't forget that this evening. You're not rejecting a message. You're rejecting a person. The refusal of wisdom. The refusal of Christ. Let's look at this refusal that is presented in these verses. Look at verse 24. It tells us there, I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. The Lord says here, I have called and ye have refused. They gave Him here a flat denial. They were in love with their folly, and they would not be made wise. They were obstinate to the message, which alone could reclaim them from certain destruction. And I want you to notice, and this is a thing that grabbed me and struck me in the study. This is in the past tense. I have called. Doesn't say here, I am calling. Or doesn't say, I am still calling, or I will yet call. I have called. God had already given them opportunity. Many, many, many opportunity. He had called them, but the voice lifted up was now silent. The call has ended. That's a most frightening thing. It may be now that that is your experience. You no longer hear the voice of the Lord in the Word. You're no longer convicted when you sit in a gospel meeting. You no longer come under the weight of sin and the terror of a broken law. You sit comfortably. You sit at ease with your sin in the house of God. You don't hear His voice. You only hear the voice of a man. You can remember back to those times, maybe a mission when God spoke to you. But now He speaks no more. Terrifying to position to be in. To not hear the voice of Christ as a sinner. To not hear that conviction come upon your soul. That terror rise up within you that you're heading out into eternal punishment and outer darkness. To sit in a meeting like that and to go out and have absolutely no concern. That's a terrifying thing. My dear friend, that's why you are not to play fast and loose with the speaking voice of God. But today, if you hear His voice, you harden not your heart, lest He leave thy sad soul in the blast. Then consider the next phrase. The Lord says, past tense again, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. You know, this is a gesture of someone calling to others, inviting them. with eager and fervent appeals. And this manner of calling on the sinner in this fashion is clearly attributed to the Lord in Isaiah chapter 65 and the verse number 2. And this is what he says, "I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Yet withal, the eagerness, zeal, warmth, and importunity expressed by the words of the preacher who is Christ's ambassador. Don't forget, he's the one that stands in Christ's stead. And often the preacher does lift his arms, as it were, imploring, inviting, calling on men and women and young people to heed the message and to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet it has been disregarded by you. You still sit in your sin. You remain unmoved, no attention giving to those appeals in the gospel as Christ has been inviting you. I have stretched out my hand, but no man regarded." This refusal is further described in the words, "Ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof." See, wisdom or Christ had counseled and reproved them, not only for what they had done amiss, but also to do better, to turn, to repent of sin, to trust in the Lord. And this was an evidence of love's, or of wisdom's love and goodwill towards them. For he desired the best for them. But you know, they thought that his counsel was not worth heeding, and that his reproofs were invalidated, for they thought they had never done anything that deserved to be reproved. And yet you've done the exact same, sinner. You've not heeded all his counsel. Oh, there might be bits and pieces you agree with, even practice in the word, but not at all. Because you still have not repented and you haven't believed. You haven't called upon him for salvation. And those things are as much his counsel as the other parts. You maybe feel that there's nothing in your life that deserves God's reproof. You're pretty decent and upright, so you think. You're moral. You do good deeds and they abound in your life. My dear friend, may God give you a biblical vision of what your life and your heart is truly like before him. Because then you would not set at naught all the Lord's counsel, and you would not reject his reproof. See, all these phrases, "ye refused, no man regarded, set at naught, would none of," they represent, what do they represent? Simple indifference to the gospel as it's preached. And you know, such indifference will bring down heavy judgment upon you, sinner, if you heed not wisdom's call. Alexander McLaren, he made this comment: "It does not need violent opposition or a black crime to rack a soul. Simply doing nothing when God speaks is enough to effect destruction. There is no need to lift up angry arms in hostility. If we keep them hanging listless by our sides, it is sufficient." You may not be like that young man who was walking down the street on Friday, making that gesture with his head, shaking, refusing the gospel that was given in that printed form. And you might feel that you have not committed some abominable and heinous sin, but an indifference to the word tonight will bring the same condemnation and heavy judgment down upon your head. You must understand that. This refusal to wisdom's call is emphasized again in verses 29 and 30. Look what it says there: For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. You see, at the heart of it all, this is what lay at the heart of it all: hatred for truth. And who is the truth? Christ. And that's what lies at your rejection of wisdom of Christ tonight. It's hatred of him. You will not submit to him. You want to be Lord and master of your own life. You reject Christ. Just as he was rejected in the days of his flesh, you reject him still. Hatred lies at the heart of it all. And that's why you need a new heart tonight. You need the work of the Spirit to come upon you and to bestow upon you a heart that longs and thirsts after the Lord Jesus Christ. And child of God, you pray. You pray that the Spirit comes in that great regenerating work. That men and women and young people and boys and girls will no longer have at their heart a hatred for God, but a love for Christ. You know, there are two important words. One at the start of verse 24 and one at the start of verse 29. Because and for. Do you know those two words, they present that what is written in verses 24, 25, 29 and 30... they present that what's written there is the grounds, is the reason for what happens and what we read of in verses 26 to 28. You know, that brings me to my last point. The call of wisdom, the refusal of wisdom. But lastly, we have the warning of wisdom. And I want you to listen up and shake lethargy from your mind. And let distraction be put away. Young man, young woman, older person, listen to the solemn words as they're read from God's holy truth. Verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Remember, this is Christ speaking, God the Son. And this is his warning to you tonight, to those who refuse him who speaks from heaven. For you will not escape. You will not escape divine punishment. You see, those who will not submit to and embrace the Lord's entreaties, they will certainly perish under his wrath and curse. They who would not take the benefit of God's mercy when it was offered to them in time in the gospel, they will fall as victims under the stroke of his justice. You see, wisdom looks ahead to a time when the good times are over. And when prosperity and the security of the unbeliever comes to an end, a time of calamity, desolation, destruction, distress, anguish, when the keen of terror seizes the soul, that moment, that split second after you die and you enter into eternity and you realize, you know, it's all true. And I'm lost. And I'm lost forever. And the keen of terror grabs your soul and has it for all eternity. And you're lost. A day of calamity. A day of destruction. A day of desolation. A day of distress. A day of anguish. Oh, your response to the gospel in time has been outlined by your refusal. But what about God's response towards you? On that great day, listen, he will laugh. He will laugh. He will mock. He will not answer. He will not be found of you. Years and years of compassion and care not regarded. Pity and promises set at naught. Appeals and arguments refused. If you don't respond to his call, ultimately he will not respond to your sinner. If you didn't want him on earth, he will not want you in heaven. People will get what they want, for God will give them over to what they want. And you, sinner, you want a life without Christ. If that's what you want, well, then an eternity without Christ is what you will have. As one man warned, he said, we either say to God, thy will be done, or he will say to us, thy will be done. You want to be without Christ. If you die in your sin, God will say to you, okay then, thy will be done. What an awful position to be in, sinner. To have the only one who could have helped you laughing at you when your fear cometh. What does it mean? What does it mean when we read of God, read of Christ saying here, I will also laugh at your calamity? Well, it does not mean that God delights in the sinner's everlasting destruction. We read in Ezekiel chapter 33 in the verse 11 that God, he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It also does not mean that God finds it funny. It does not make him happy. But what it does mean is this, that people will get what they deserve. What they did to God will be done to them. They refuse God, he will refuse them. They set him at naught, he will bring them down to nothing. They scorned him, he will mock them. They would have nothing to do with him, he will have nothing to do with them. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This is the law of retributive justice. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, laugh for a laugh. Those who do not heed his call will get what they deserve. He will not heed their calls for mercy. You know, when God laughs, there is also included the truth that he is pleased with the exercise of his justice upon sin, and that he has triumphed over his enemies, and that scorning and sinning have finally ceased, have been put away from this earth. You know, we sang earlier, O sinner, thine ears have been deaf to his voice, thine eyes to his glory be dim. The calls of thy Savior have so wearied thee. O what if they should weary him? As I close, sinner, and Christ's call in the gospel will once soon again be silent. What if he should call you no more? Is it not time you heeded his call? That you were obedient to his voice? Do what he bids you to do. Repent of your sin and believe in Christ's finished work. Listen to what he promises those that heed his call. In verse 33, look what it says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Safe in the day of death. Safe in the day of desolation. Safe in the day of judgment. Safe in the day of the wrath of the Lamb. Remember, this is Christ. And this is what he says. I also will laugh at your calamity. And I will mock when your fear cometh. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me, but they shall not find me. He's calling tonight. He's calling through the gospel. He's taken this vessel of clay, and that's all I am. I'm just a vessel. I'm just a channel. But he's been calling for you tonight, sinner. Young person, little one, older person. Heed his call. Come this evening while he has afforded you another opportunity. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. And as we do so, do not rob the stillness, the solemnness of this meeting by any distraction. And God's people again earnestly implore the Lord that he would strive very definitely with sinners tonight. And sinner, I make myself available, the Reverend Greer as well. You can come and speak to us. The Lord's been calling. He's been calling you. And I pray that you would heed the call. If you want help and further counsel, we'll open the Word. We'll speak to you in the minister's room. We'll take that time. Don't leave tonight. Don't play fast and loose with the call, the voice of God. But come this evening. Let's pray. Loving God and gracious Father, we do pray for the mighty, the all-powerful voice of God to speak this evening. Pray that the Spirit now, even yet, will be doing his secret, silent, sovereign work. We pray, O God, that thou would trouble sinners. Take away that ability to sit comfortably through a meeting, to walk out refusing Christ, turning their back on him. O God, speak, we beseech of thee. Save the lost for the glory of thy name. Bring them, we pray. We thank thee for the call of the gospel. We thank thee, Lord, for that silver trumpet, that note of redemption, Lord, being sounded out from this pulpit this evening. And I pray, Lord, that thou would take the word that has gone forth out of thy mouth, and may it, Lord, accomplish, Lord, what thou hast pleased, and prosper in the thing to which thou hast sent it. You give it for this evening. We pray that it would not return unto thee void. Pray, O God, that thou would speak, and thou would save for the glory of Christ. Remember thy dear people as they enter into this new week. We pray, O God, that thou would attend their pathway. And Lord, we have these two great worldviews set before us early. In this book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Help us as thy people to fear thee, to give you that due reverence and godly fear. And now, Father, I pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be the portion of thy people this night and forevermore. Part us with thy blessing. For these things I pray in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen.